But here we are in 1 Thessalonians, and I just want to, you don't have to turn there, but I want to draw your attention back to where we started. And Moses meeting with God, that famous meeting of the burning bush, right, that's not consumed. And God is speaking to Moses, and Moses asks a good question. He says to God, he says, but when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, what is his name, and what shall I say unto them? And folks, listen, we have an opportunity as believers in Christ, as believers in God, as if you will, and I'll use the broad term, as Christians, we have an opportunity to say to people, who is this God? Who is this? And he says, I am that I am. Folks, we have an opportunity. I'm not even going to call it a command. I'm not even going to call it a duty. I'm not even going to call it something we have to do. I want to call it an opportunity. We have the opportunity to tell them God exists. He exists. And we get a chance to tell him that he's the one that is over all, and he is the Almighty. He's the omnipotent one. He's the omnipresent one. He's the all-powerful one. He's the one that is over all. God orchestrates, and everything is connected to God. He exists. He's real. You know, there's a lot of people out there that don't even believe in a real God. They believe he's made up, some kind of fairy tale, something that is just a figment of imagination. There is no supreme being, they say. Well, we get a chance to testify and to stand up and say, God exists. And guess what? Furthermore, not only does he exist, but he sent me unto you. You've heard me say many times, as a general purpose, I do not believe in coincidences. I believe in divine appointments. So you can very confidently tell someone, look, I'm here today, and you're here today, and this particular subject has come up today because God wants you to know that he exists. And he sent me to tell you that he exists. We have that opportunity. And furthermore, we studied out that God is not just, if you will, God the Father, but he's three in one. God the Father exists. God the Son exists. We got last week to study about how God the Son, the Christ, the Messiah, came to seek and to save that which is lost. He came to give his life a ransom for many. He came so that we could have salvation as a free gift. Praise God for that. And now because we have salvation, we have the opportunity to go to someone and say, look, I want you to know my Savior. I want you to know the one that has saved me from my sin. God has given me eternal life because of Jesus Christ and through Jesus Christ. We get a chance to tell people that Jesus Christ exists. It's a joy to know the Savior. But you know what's a greater joy? To share that Savior with someone else. I don't know if you've had this opportunity. I have had this opportunity on several occasions. But when I get a chance to show someone from the Scripture that they're a sinner, that because of their sin they're accountable to a holy, holy, holy God, and that means that they owe a payment of death forever in a place called hell because of their sin. And then I also get to show them that Jesus Christ came. He lived a perfect life. He was sinless. And he did it not because, if you will, men killed him, but he gave his life on that cross. He cried out, it is finished. And that precious blood was taken up to the mercy seat and applied for my benefit. They get a chance to show them how they can simply bow their head and through repentance and faith turn to Jesus Christ, Just like the thief on the cross. He knew he was guilty. He said, hey, we deserve to die. We are filthy. We are criminals. This man hath done nothing wrong. He looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. Oh, to trust Christ and to see someone bow their head and just pray a simple sinner's prayer, if you will, just asking God to forgive them of their sin, come into their heart, become their Savior. I don't know if that's even better than when I got saved. It's hard to put a quantity on that. You understand? It's amazing. It's to me as a father, even better than that, watching one of my young children show someone how to be saved. Oh, what a joy. I had the privilege of working, when I worked at Trinity Baptist Church in Arlington, I had the privilege of leading a lot of the children's programs. And we had a program called Harvesters, and we got to teach elementary age people, young people, how to lead people to Christ. And to watch a third and fourth and fifth grader, or maybe a second grader or first grader, take a Bible or take a gospel tract and show someone how to be saved. And here's this little bitty kid and this big old adult, and the adult is just crying and coming to Christ. And it's a miracle. What a blessing to be able to tell people that our God exists. And what a blessing to be able to tell people that our Savior exists. But can I tell you something else? If you go back to our text where we were reading today, it's a blessing, it's a privilege to be able to tell people that the Holy Spirit of God exists. Folks, we don't have to be afraid of the subject of the Holy Spirit of God. We don't have to be afraid of it. Just because there are religious people and church groups that abuse and falsely manifest something called the Holy Spirit doesn't mean that we have to be afraid of it. Doesn't mean that we have to just say, oh, we're just going to avoid that subject. No. No, He's real. He exists. He's really part of the Godhead. It's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And we don't have to be afraid. Because guess what? The Bible is true. God's word is true. And if you will, every man a liar. We understand that God is true. God's word is true. And look what it says here in verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God. So folks, don't take this as an offense on your own. They're not despising that. They're despising God. Jesus spoke of that. But he says this, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. God gave us the Spirit. And we're going to talk about that today and how that the Holy Spirit of God is real. And He does exist. Now, as we look through Scripture, we see many opportunities to look at the Word of God and to look at the things of God and to look at the makeup of God. Oh, there's much about God the Father and there's much about God the Son. But folks, listen to me. There is much about the Holy Spirit of God. We don't have to guess. We don't have to assume. We don't have to make up things about Him. He is real and He is evident in Scripture. The first thing I want us to pay attention to today, in the fact that God exists, that the Holy Spirit of God exists, that the Son of God exists. We talked about God the Father. He is the I Am. He is I Am that I Am. And we talked about last week that the Holy Spirit is God, that Jesus Christ is God with us. I want to talk to you today about the Holy Spirit of God, God in us. He's in us. You understand that the Holy Spirit of God is that indwelling, sealing part of God in the believer. That's what His purpose is. That's what His job is. If you'd like to, you can take your Bibles and turn over to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. When someone receives Christ as their Savior, when they turn from their sin and they accept Christ, they are automatically given the Holy Spirit of God. He comes to live and dwell in the believer. He's the indwelling presence of God in our lives. He lives in us. He's been given to us. Look what it said here, where John the Baptist is preaching. He says, I indeed have baptized you with water, but he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened and the Spirit. Notice that's a capital S, Spirit. Okay? Divine. Proper name. The Spirit descending like a dove, descending upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You understand that the fullness of God, the Spirit of God, dwelt upon Jesus Christ. You understand that the Holy Spirit of God is real. He exists. And he indwells the believer. In John chapter 7, Jesus said in the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Do you understand in the New Testament here, as that Jesus Christ is ministering, he tells of the Holy Spirit going to come. Because Jesus was here with us, God with us. And that the Holy Spirit would come and then be God in us at the appointed time. In Acts chapter 1, Jesus said, For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost, not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? He said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or seasons, which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You understand, folks, that this was a process in coming. We are not in those days, are we? We're a long way past that, aren't we? In those days, the Holy Spirit had not yet come to indwell the believers, but he was a promise to be sent. And guess what? We read about the day of Pentecost, and when they were all gathered in one accord in one place there in Acts chapter 2, and the Holy Spirit of God came in like a rushing mighty wind, and it was like as of cloven tongues of fire upon them, and they began to do all these wonderful things because the Holy Spirit of God had been sent to dwell in them. At the end of chapter 2, as Peter is preaching, the people heard this and they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter saith unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. He said, what happens after salvation? We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. You understand that this was a process back in those days in the early church. But now for us today, because all of that is completed, it's an immediate thing. When you choose to trust Christ as your Savior, and yes, it's a choice. It's a choice. And guess what? By not choosing, you automatically made a choice to reject Him. But when we do receive Christ, the Holy Spirit of God moves in immediately. And guess what? He exists in us. In Acts chapter 8, This had not yet taken place. It says, when the apostles were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, whom when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. It says, for as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. You understand, folks, that we know He's real because we've received Him. Let me ask you a question. Can you really know something is real if you've never experienced it? You say, yeah, I can know that. But you can believe it by faith, right? Faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But can you really know that it's real? You can. If you've received Him. If you know Him. How can someone just preach the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, never knowing salvation for themselves? Sure they can. But how convincing will they be? Because guess what you can't make clear? You can't make clear to someone else what you don't know about yourself. You understand, folks, the reason why I can be so confident and so bold about salvation? Because I've received Christ's salvation. The reason I can be so confident and know about God and His Word? Because I've experienced the Word of God. And I've experienced the Heavenly Father. And I know about Him from a personal experience. And I can also tell you that the Holy Spirit of God exists. He's real because He dwells within me. Romans chapter 8, Paul writes and says this, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. Can I tell you, can I just say, we ought to say amen there? How many things have you tried to do in the flesh and you just fell right flat on your face? Because that's what happens. But what about work that you've done in the Spirit? Through the power of the Spirit of God, guess what it does? It flourishes. It abounds. It's successful. He says, ye shall die, but if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Listen to this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Can I tell you something? If you don't know that you know that you know that you're saved, you may not be saved. Because the Spirit, God says He's going to send Him. He's going to put Him in you who believe. You're going to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Hey, listen, it is not some separate event beyond salvation. It is included upon salvation. And if you don't have that confidence, if you don't have that acknowledgement, if you don't have that Spirit bearing witness with your spirit that you are God's child, then you may not be. Remember what they said in the last days? Lord, Lord, we prophesied in Your name. We did mighty works. Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew you. We sing the song, since Jesus came into my heart. We probably ought to sing, since the Holy Spirit came into my heart. Jesus is sitting at the right hand of the Father, folks. How does Jesus fulfill His promise of never leaving us nor forsaking us? Through the Holy Spirit of God. He indwells the believer. He lives within us. In 1 John chapter 5, John says, this is He that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. You know who the witness is? The Holy Spirit of God. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he says, "And ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me." This Holy Spirit of God that indwells the believer is the witness that we are the sons of God and that we have believed on the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Remember what Paul says in Corinthians. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Hey, you know what? I can't think of a more carnal church. Well, I can. No, that's not true. Sorry, I did not mean to lie to you. Please forgive me. Laodicea is probably the most carnal church I can think of. Corinthians, the Corinth church, is probably the second most carnal church I can think of. Okay? Because he didn't say about Corinth that he would spew them out of his mouth because they're lukewarm. And we don't have time to get on that horse right there and chase that rabbit. But the Corinthian church is a carnal church. What did Paul say to them? The Holy Spirit is in you. He's in you. Even to these people who had everything turned upside down, who really didn't catch on to things maybe as quickly as Paul would have liked them to. He had to write two letters to them. Right? I'm just saying. He said to them, he said, "You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. He's in you." He said, "Which ye have of God, and ye are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." You understand, folks, we're supposed to live as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. You say, why? Because God lives in you. Well, why do you want God to live in filth? Why do you want God to live in an uncomfortable environment? Can let me ask you a question. Is God comfortable with sin? No. He's not. Is God comfortable with selfishness? With pride, with all these things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Is God comfortable with that? No. Last time I checked, he hates it. So why would you want to make your God, the one who provided you with salvation through his Son, and one who has given you the gift of his Holy Spirit to dwell in you, why would you want to make him uncomfortable? Why would you want to make him hate living in you? You say, wow, Pastor, am I doing that? You are if you're living in sin. You are if you're loving the world. You are if you're doing things against the Word of God. And guess what? The Holy Spirit of God is trying to tell you. Oh, he may not be screaming at you. He may not be reading you the riot act. But maybe in that still small voice, he's saying, by the way, you mind taking out the trash? We have small children, you understand. I hope you understand how much a dirty diaper stinks up the house. Yeah, we have a practice of taking those dirty diapers, putting them in a Walmart sack, tying them, and immediately taking them out to the trash bin. Okay? Do you know why we do that? Because if you just kind of wrap it up and put those little you know, sticky thingies across it like this and just put nice, you know, it's a nice little tidy package and you put it in the trash can. Do you know what it does? It stinks up your whole house. You say, I've never experienced that. See me after church. I'll help you. He says, oh, but he just kind of nudges you. Would you mind taking out the trash? Hey, would you mind cleaning up these windows? Get a little dark in here. Remember what the Bible says about the eye? If the eye be dark, how great is that darkness? Folks, listen to me. He's uncomfortable in many of our lives. He lives inside of you. It's our reasonable service to keep the house clean. We just tell our children that. I don't pay my kids. They live in my house. They are my slaves. But you know what? Listen. Keep the house clean. You got to live here. Why do you want to live in filth? Who wants to live in filth? Anybody? No. And guess what filth makes us? Uncomfortable. And you know what? After a while, it just gets so bad, you say, enough! I got to clean it out. Get rid of all this. You know what? Some of us are making our indwelling Holy Spirit very uncomfortable. Do you really want God to hate living in you? Quench not the Spirit. He can be quenched. You say, you know what? I don't really care how God feels. It's my life. Uh-oh. That's not what Paul said. He said, no. Don't you know? You're the temple of the Holy Ghost. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. He said, it's holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove. God, I'm going to prove that I love you. I'm going to prove that I want you living in me. I want to prove that you're my Savior. I'm going to keep my house clean. So you can be happy and comfortable inside of me. It's the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The second thing I want to mention today is not only is he the indwelling Holy Spirit, but he's the comforting Holy Spirit. Take your Bible and turn over to John 14. John 14. The Holy Spirit is real. He exists. And let me just say this about, as you're turning there to John 14 about the comforting Holy Spirit. Can I tell you something? The Holy Spirit is not self-promoting. He's not here to promote himself. He's here to promote Jesus Christ. You understand that if you have a spirit that speaks of himself, it's not the Holy Spirit. There are people out there, they magnify the Holy Spirit of God. You know what he's like? He's like, that's not my glory. That's not my job. All I want to do is magnify Christ. All I want to do is bring people to Christ. All I want to do is exalt Jesus Christ. Draw men to Jesus Christ. Convict them of their sin. Draw them close to the Savior. Bring them to Jesus. That's my job. I'm going to bring the lost person to Jesus. I'm going to bring the saved person closer to Jesus. That's what I'm here for. That's his vocation, folks. If you don't believe me, go look it up. We're going to read some verses that talk about that. But can I tell you something? He's not out there to magnify himself. So these people that they say, oh, I'm full of the Holy Ghost. And no, they're not. They're full of some kind of ghost. It ain't the Holy Ghost. No, he's not a showboat. He's real. And he doesn't take over people. You know that? You know what the Holy Ghost does? We're going to talk. I don't have time today. You all took all my time by just sitting there being nice people. He fills. You know a little bit about physics, right? You know a little bit about how science works? You know what water does? It fills empty spaces. Water doesn't fill full spaces, does it? If you fill a hole with cement, guess what it's not going to be full of? Water. Yeah. But if there's an empty hole, what's it going to do? Fill with water. So you know what that's so true in our lives? If it's full of something else, guess what it's not going to be full of? There you go. It's not going to be full of the Holy Spirit, is it? That's next week, I guess. We'll have to push it off to next week. Look at John 14, the comforting Holy Ghost. Jesus said this, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive." Folks, listen to this. The world can't have the Holy Ghost. Unbelievers, lost people, can't have him. You know why? Because they can't see him. It says, "Whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you," he says, "and he shall be in you." I don't have time today to talk about the difference between the Old Testament manifestation of the Holy Spirit and the New Testament manifestation of the Holy Spirit. But listen, the Holy Spirit in times past would come upon people. But because of salvation, he is now able to come in them because they're bought with a price. They're saved. They're born again. He says here that while Jesus was with them, they had the Holy Spirit power. But it was on them, not in them. And after the day of Pentecost, he now was now where? In them. Jesus said this, "For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless." You know that walking and talking with Jesus is a great comfort. Knowing the Word of God is a great comfort. But the greatest comfort that we have is the promise of the Father, the Holy Spirit of God that indwells the believer, is the greatest comfort that we have. He's the comforter. Jesus said, "I'm not going to leave you comfortless." He said, "I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, "Not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth me, and keepeth not my commandments, or my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, yet being present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and I come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said I go unto my Father. For my Father is greater than I, and I now have told you, before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe." Folks, we can endure. We can overcome. We can have joy. We can have happiness. We can have peace because the Holy Spirit of God exists. And he is our comforter. Oh, God is our Heavenly Father. And Jesus is our Savior. And the Holy Spirit of God is our comfort. He said, Brother Combs, I am going through an experience. I'm going through a trial. I'm going through a dark time in my life. Can I tell you something? If you're a believer today, you have a comforter. Jesus knows what you're going through. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus knows what you have gone through, what you are going through, and what you will go through. That's why He gave us the Holy Spirit of God. It's a gift. You know that we get gifts for our children. We get gifts for people, things like that. Do you know why gifts are given? Because somebody wanted to give you a gift. And most of the time, it might be something that you need. Or maybe something that you want. Who wants to be comforted? Everybody, right? Who needs to be comforted? Everybody, in some time of their life. Is this way difficult? Yes. Yea, that all that are godly in Christ Jesus, what? Shall suffer persecution. So what did God do for us? Oh, He sent His Son, Pastor. He's told us He exists. Yes, but what did He do even greater than that? He gave us His Holy Spirit to live in us, to be a constant comfort to us day by day. John 15, Jesus said, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. If I had not come in and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not sinned. But now they have both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this has come to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law. They hated me without a cause. But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. In John 16, Jesus mentions the Comforter, that he will come unto you when Jesus departs. And when he is come, he'll reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not of me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and see me no, ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me. For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. Can I tell you something, folks? The Holy Spirit of God is a comforter to us, because he is the Spirit of truth. You may or may not like truth, but you know what? Truth is a comfort. It's a comfort. You say, but the last time I had to deal with the truth, it got me in trouble. Okay, but guess what? I bet you that in the end scheme of things, that trouble was a comfort, because the truth was revealed. Truth is always comforting, folks, because it's something you can rest in. Oh, what does it say? Something about freedom because of truth? Yeah, it's freedom. When we find the truth in Christ, guess what we have? Freedom. And when we listen to the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth, it's comfort, because it's freedom. He's our comforter. In Acts chapter 9, the churches had rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified, walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost. You see, they were being persecuted. There was affliction. People being arrested and killed and martyred. Yeah, but they were comfortable. They were of good comfort. Why? Because they had the Holy Spirit of God. And guess what happened? They were multiplied. One last verse today. Thank you for 15 minutes of your time. Extra minutes. You say, what time is it? Don't worry about it. Look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 1, if you'd like. I'll just read it for sake of time. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which also we suffer, or whether we be comforted, for it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Jesus said, hey, I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm not going to leave you here to fend for yourselves. I'm sending you the Comforter. The one who will help you endure. The one who will empower you and enable you to accomplish what you're here to accomplish. Can I tell you something, folks? The Holy Spirit of God is real. And the Holy Spirit of God exists. God the Father exists. God the Son exists. And God the Holy Spirit exists. He indwells the believer. And He is our comfort and our guide and the Spirit of truth in our lives, which gives us comfort. Hey, how many of you, when you have a guide, you're comforted, right? Because you know which way to go. You know what to do. That's a comfort, right? How many of you drive down the road? I left it in my office. And you have the lady in the box. And most of the time, she's a comfort. Some of the time, she's a frustration. The Holy Spirit of God is never a frustration, unless we're against Him. Recalculating. He exists. We ought to tell people that I've got God living in me. He's the Spirit of truth. Hey, why do you do the things you do? Why do you dress the way you dress? Why do you say the things that you do? Because I'm the temple of the Holy Ghost. Because He dwells in me. I'm not going to quench His voice. You know what I love to do? Sometimes I'll be walking down the street and the Holy Spirit of God will get a hold of me and say, you need to give a tract to that person. So you know what I do sometimes? Sometimes I just come up and say, hi, I'm Pastor Combs from Lighthouse Baptist Church. The Holy Spirit of God told me to give this to you. I'm not afraid of that. It's not weird. It's not spooky. He's real. And I'm not afraid to tell people He's real. And you ought not be either. It's our opportunity to share our God with others.